For our scripture text today, we'll be looking at Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. It's page 1007 in the Pew Bible. And in this section we see the well-known account of the little children coming to Jesus. And we'll see how Jesus reacts to these children coming to him, and how it's different from the disciples. So listen as I read from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. Let's pray before we begin. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this scripture, and we thank you for the teachings of Jesus, how they conform us to be more and more like him. But we pray that as we look at the children around us, as we look at the children through the world, that we would have a gracious attitude like he did, and that we would seek to reach out to them and to bring them up in the knowledge and truth of the gospel. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. To many people today, children are a burden. Children are a problem, an inconvenience that cuts into life. They're expensive, people say. They take away your free time. They take away your mobility, your ability to go and pick up and take a weekend vacation or do something like that. They change your lifestyle to being based around a home rather than out and about in the evening. But this passage shows that Jesus felt the exact opposite as many people do in our society today. Jesus loved the children. He cared for the children, and he valued their lives. Even these small children that they were bringing to him, he valued them and saw them as children of the kingdom. He valued them not in and of themselves, but because of their place in the covenant family, because of their place in the kingdom of God. And as we start VBS tomorrow night, as we think about how to minister to children and what role children have in the church, it's important to see how Jesus cared for these children, to see how he spent so much time with them and didn't cast them away as the disciples wanted to do, but rather invited them to come even closer. And we see how Christ makes this comparison, how every believer is to be like a child. Every believer is to come to Christ and to behave like a child. And so Christ is telling every one of you today that no matter what your age, whether you're 3 or 25 or 85, you are to come to Christ and to be a believer like a child, like one of these small child. So Christ calls you to come to him like a small child. And the first thing that we see in our passage is that some people might hinder children from coming to Christ. We see here that some people will hinder children from coming to Christ. Look at verse 13. It says, "And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them." And so here we see that parents are bringing their children to Jesus. They're bringing their children to Jesus so that he might bless them. Now, many times we see parents bringing their children to Jesus so that he might heal them. But this is different. These parents are concerned with their children's spiritual welfare. They're concerned with their little toddler's faith in Christ. And they come to Jesus. But the disciples step in. And we all know how the disciples often act. They often see themselves as Jesus' ambassadors, but in a bad way. And so the people bring their children here to Jesus, and the disciples step in and shield them off from Jesus. And you can imagine what the disciples are probably thinking. Jesus, our master, he has so many things to do. He has so many demands on his time. He has so many important people to talk to or adults to minister to. He doesn't have time to bless these small children. But as often happens, Jesus corrects his disciples. And the disciples, they didn't understand Jesus' mission fully. They still thought that Jesus was coming to set up an earthly kingdom, one that would take over the Roman Empire. But that's not who Jesus came to minister to. Jesus ministered to the outcast, and to the poor, and to the weak, and to the small child. And so, in almost every society in the world, children are seen as helpless. And they are helpless, but they have value. And in our current cultural climate, when abortion and other things rage, we have to remember that Jesus tells us that children have value, even the smallest children. And so the disciples here don't value the children like Jesus does. They don't see these small children as important to Jesus' mission. But Jesus sees them otherwise. And it's too easy in the church today to perform the role of the disciple in this story. It's too easy to keep the children from Christ. And it's not as if people set out with that goal, but over time it can happen. Maybe the church becomes more and more about Bible stories rather than about salvation through the gospel. Maybe we love to tell about David and Goliath and all of these other stories from the Old Testament, but we never get to the point where they're more than stories, where they're more than just men overcoming obstacles in front of them. Instead, we need to be pointing them to the gospel story that's interwoven through that. Also, we might use things like children's church or youth groups to slowly separate the children from the church body, slowly separate them from the worship of God in the sanctuary. We can put emphasis so much on these other things that emphasis is not put on the worship together as families of God. And so each one of you should be careful not to separate the children from the gospel, not to make the Bible about stories or about morality or good Christian living, but instead to make sure each children knows that the Bible is about Christ, and to keep introducing them to Christ every day. Jesus sees these children as special, and he wants to foster these relationships. And because of that, Jesus wants you to bring the children to him. And that's the thing we see that Jesus commands the disciples. He wants them to bring the children to him. Look at verse 14 with me. It says, "But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, 'Permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.'" And Jesus, we see here, looks at these children differently. He doesn't see them as a waste of time. He doesn't see them as a burden to his ministry. He doesn't see himself as a babysitter having to take care of these children while other important tasks are waiting. No, he doesn't view them that way at all. He sees them as they really are. He sees them as sinners who need a Savior. And so just because these children are small, just because they may not be able to talk yet, he understands that they need him, that they need salvation in Christ. Jesus knew, and he says to the disciples here, he says that the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. The kingdom of God belongs to these children. So the kingdom of God is not just for adults. It's not just for people who have made a profession of faith in front of the congregation. But it involves the adults and the children. It involves everyone in the covenant community. And so you might be asking, what is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is a complex term, but I think how Jesus is wanting us to understand it here is as the gospel. He wants us to see it as the children should have access to the gospel. They are part of the scope of salvation. They are part of the gospel community. And children, as we said, are often looked down upon. They're often underestimated. Now, maybe when you become older, we'll teach you more complex things or we'll share more with you. But now, you know, don't worry about these things yet. But the Bible teaches all throughout its pages that children are part of God's people. That the children belong just as much to the kingdom of God as adults do. So if you think back to Abraham, when God comes to Abraham and makes his covenant with Abraham, he establishes the covenant not just with Abraham, not just with Abraham and Sarah, but with Abraham and all his descendants. Every step of the way, every descendant of Abraham is involved in this covenant. And then in Acts chapter 2, Peter says at the sermon at Pentecost, he says that these promises, he just gets done presenting the gospel to the people, to the Jewish people there. And he says, for this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. And so these passages are showing us that the kingdom of God is for everyone. It's for children. And we should be careful not to hinder the children from coming into the kingdom. Jesus tells the disciples, don't hinder these children from coming to me. And so as you think of ways not to hinder children, but instead in being intentional in bringing them to Christ, think about how you share your faith with them. Oftentimes it's easy to tell about the gospel to a child or to a teenager. But instead of just giving the cold hard facts of what happened, be intentional with them. And tell them how the gospel impacts your life. Tell them how the gospel has changed you and how God worked in your heart to bring you to a saving knowledge of Him. Develop a one-on-one relationship with the children in your family or in the church so that we can talk about spiritual things. Oftentimes, I guess I am closer to adulthood now than ever before. But we say, well, it's hard to know what to say to the children. It's hard to know what to talk about. And the children are saying, yeah, that's why they always ask me if I'm glad to be done with school or all these other stupid questions I hear over and over again. But we have great opportunities to interact with the children and for you children to interact with the adults about our faith, about what God has done in our lives. Too often as cold Presbyterians, we can kind of shutter those things away. And we can hide those things and assume it happened for somebody at some point in time, but that's really not public knowledge for us to talk about. Instead of that, we should be sharing how God has worked in our lives and showing the next generation how God works in His people. Don't just assume that the young people are picking it up at church. Oh, if they're around the church, they'll figure the gospel out. Because it's not until they get into their 20s when you find out they didn't pick it up. And that's a terrible thing to see happen. And in the same way, don't let the gospel in your own family get pushed aside. Don't let family worship or other things slowly take a back seat to soccer practice or the myriad of other activities that you're involved in. Because family worship is a daily reminder of Christ. It's a daily recentering of the family around the Word and around the gospel. And so as you think of how not to hinder the children, think about how you can play an active role in bringing the children to Christ. And in the same way, children, you have responsibilities too. Children, you are not to hinder your parents from bringing you to Christ. You're not to drag your feet. You're not to complain about going to prayer meeting or to church or to any other things. Because after a while, that drags on your parents and makes it difficult for them to motivate you. So in the same way, you should be willing, along with your parents, to come to Christ and to take advantage of His message. Too often, we come up with excuses. Do we have to go? I'm tired. We just went last time. We're the only family that goes to this. Don't think of those excuses, but instead think of what Christ is saying here. The kingdom of God belongs to you in faith. And so VBS is a great opportunity for all of us to bring children to Christ, to bring children and let them encounter the message of the gospel. And why is it so important for children to be introduced to Christ? Well, beyond just the basic facts of the gospel, there are special blessings for children who are part of God's kingdom. There are special blessings for the children who are part of God's covenant community. And we see this in verse 16. It says, And Jesus, took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. So instead of refusing to associate with the children, Jesus does the complete opposite. And he takes the children into his arms and he blesses them. He lays his hands on them, he prays for them, and he blesses them with his Spirit. Now, it doesn't tell us the exact meaning of what this blessing was, but there was true spiritual blessing going on here. This wasn't just a good luck charm. Or maybe you've heard of churches having pet blessings where the priest or the pastor blesses the pets. This isn't that kind of thing. That's just, oh, let's go have Jesus bless our children so that they grow taller or they're better at certain things. No, this is a real spiritual blessing. And this isn't an argument for infant dedication. Now, some people might see this as saying, well, Jesus is dedicating these infants. But we have to understand who these people are. These are Jewish families coming to Jesus. These are Jewish families who have already circumcised their children, who have already brought their children into the covenant. And so these families and these children that are part of the covenant don't need to be rebaptized. They don't need to be brought again into the covenant because they're already there. And so we see here the blessing that children have in the covenant of God. Often we're too quick to overlook the blessings of being a covenant child. We're too quick to overlook the benefits of being in this special community of God's. Jesus looks at these children, and he sees them as believers. He sees them as people who are placing their trust in him. Even though they may not be able to verbally articulate their faith, they may not comprehend every detail, he sees these children as believers, as people who are part of the covenant community. And so he doesn't see them as on the fence. He doesn't see them as, you know, maybe they'll turn out good or maybe they won't. But instead, he treats them as people who have already been redeemed. He's not waiting to send them off to church camp and to have them make a decision for Christ. Instead, he's recognizing that when in the covenant community, when that sign is given, that shows God's blessing and God's salvation towards that child. And why could Jesus look at these children and be confident? Well, it wasn't because of the parents' faith. It wasn't because he looked over at the parents and said, well, these are some of the best people in the synagogue. Their children will be saved. It wasn't because of that. Jesus could be confident of the children's salvation because of the promises of God. Because the promises that God makes along with his covenant. And so as we thought of Abraham earlier, God says that you will follow me and your descendants. And your descendants will be like stars in the sky and the sand on the sea. They'll be beyond count. And so when we think about our children, when we think about the children who might be coming this week, we don't place our trust in where they grew up or who their parents are, but rather because of the promises of God to work in these children's lives. And so when you look at your own children, you can be confident to claim God's promises for them. As a parent, you don't have to wait around and see how they turn out. But instead, you can be confident that God is working in them, that he is working salvation in them, that he is bringing them to faith in Christ. And so while the promises of God form the foundation for the blessings of His covenant, God also gives responsibility to you as people. So even though He blesses His covenant children and He makes promises, there's also things that His people have to do as well. And so we see here that Jesus calls you to come to Him like a little children. He calls every person to come to Him like a little child, both the child and the adult. And we see this in verse 15. He says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And so here Jesus makes it clear. The little children should come to Him. But He also tells them what manner they should come. He said that every person who comes to Christ should come like a little child, should come in this frame of mind. And so to put it in the positive, to enter the kingdom of God, you need to receive it like a little child. And Jesus here is making a comparison between adults and children. If you think about adults, when they hear something, quite often, they're very careful. They're guarded. They're skeptical of new ideas. They're skeptical of different ways of thinking. And so if you've ever had the experience of sharing the gospel with an adult who isn't a believer, often they're very wary of what you have to say. They have questions and doubts. And not that all questions and doubts are bad, but they don't take it as truth. And so when they're presented with the truth of the gospel, oftentimes their emotions and their desire to have everything in a line rules out over their recognition of the truth. But this is a very different reaction from how children listen. Children, if you're a parent and you tell your child something, they believe you. They trust you. They're placing their dependence on you to tell them what is the truth. They think through things simply. They don't worry about all the other things that could happen or all the other problems, but they instead focus on what you told them. And they, once they have that truth in their heart, they build on that. And they trust that because their parents told them that. And so Jesus is telling His followers here not to doubt the gospel, not to be wary of it or to be skeptical or guarded, but instead to embrace the truth like a little child. To embrace the truth and to come to God and depend on Him like a father. We don't question when we're young and we're looking for an answer for something. We don't usually question our father or our mother. If we ask, well, why does this happen? They tell us why and we believe it. And so Jesus is telling us that when we come to the truth, when we come to the gospel, instead of surrounding it with questions, seeking to poke holes in it every way possible, as many people do, instead of that, we should come to it with the simplicity of a child. And so Jesus is calling you here, both as children and as adults, to approach His truth with simplicity. To approach His truth and to latch onto it wholeheartedly. If you come in humility, if you place your trust completely on Him, and forget all the other questions that people ask to try to make you stumble, that is how Jesus wants each one of His believers to come to Him. And so for you children, you might be able to think of something in your life that you want, but you're told by your parents, wait until you get older. It might be you want your own room, or you want to be able to drive a car, or to stay out later with your friends, or just go somewhere with your friends by yourselves. But your parents tell you, wait until you're older. When you're in high school or you're in college, you can do those things. And so you wait patiently as the years go by. And so there are many good things that we should wait until we're older. But the gospel is not one of those things that you should wait for. It's not one of those things you should wait until you're a high schooler or you're a college student to start thinking about. Coming to Christ and placing your trust in Him as your Savior should be something that you can start thinking about today. Even if you're 2 years old or 3 years old, you can start thinking about your need for Christ as a Savior. As we heard in the first sermon, how our sin separates us from God. How our sin disconnects us from what God wants for us. And it causes us to be afraid. But we don't have to go through this life being afraid. And we shouldn't wait and put off coming to Christ. Often the world thinks that the young are innocent, are helpless. They're so sweet and wonderful. But you know and I know that's not the case always. And each one of us, even when we're young, are corrupted by sin. And each one of us needs Christ's changing work in our life. And so as you go to VBS this week, as you learn about creation and how God made us, as you learn about the fall and how Adam sinned against God and how his sin impacts all of our lives, and as we learn about how Christ came and gave his life for that sin so that we could be reconciled to God, don't put this off. Don't just think about it, but instead accept it as the truth. Instead, come to Christ and place your trust in him. And so if you are an adult, think about how you can further facilitate this. And think about how Christ calls you to have a childlike faith. And so as you work with the children, as you go about your lives, if you're not helping out with VBS, think about how God calls you to place your dependence in him like a small child. To trust him with everything. To trust him for every meal. To trust him for every amount of money. You should put off your own pride and instead come to Christ in humility. So we pray that as you teach and as you lead at VBS, that we don't hinder the children, that through our own sin, we don't put up obstacles between the children and the gospel, but instead that we would encourage the children and that we would encourage everyone that we come across to draw closer and closer to Christ. And so we see from this passage Jesus' intense love for these children and how he spends his precious time blessing them and bringing to himself. So as we go out from here, as we get ready for VBS, as we have the opportunity to present the gospel to 50 plus children this week, our prayer should be that we should let the little children come to Christ and that we will not hinder them. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the love that you have for us. And we thank you for your covenant established so long ago. We thank you for your covenantal love towards your people and how that covenantal love doesn't just stop with adults, but it carries down to children. And so we pray that through this week, through the upcoming activities, that you would bring these children to yourself, that you would show them their sin and their need for Christ. And we pray that as we all participate in these activities, that we wouldn't be like the disciples and hinder the children through our own sin or through our own personalities, but rather we would be encouraging them to come to Christ, and that through our behavior, we would be setting forth a godly example. So we pray that as we go from this place, that you would bless the Vacation Bible School, that even now you would be working in the lives of the parents throughout this community and stirring them up so that they might bring their children to Jesus tomorrow. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.